If anyone would like to look at the way we're situated in the room and you'd like to come in closer or anything like that, you're very welcome. Then we would be more able to be in a discussion afterwards. So I'm really happy, super happy, to be able to present Praveer Malik, who is a friend over many years. He's a combination which I find irresistible, which is that he's been a teacher in the ashram school. That means he's very familiar with all of what Sri Aurobindo has written. But at the same time, he's a real karma yogi in that he is working very successfully as a management consultant for high-level corporates in the States. So he's managing to bring to span quite a breadth there. And because I've been involved with Arul and Manoj in developing the Telos management analysis tool, and I read Praveer's book, Connecting Inner Change to Global...
Inner Power
to Global Change. A little bit difficult title. I never really get it. I've always felt that those two things would be interesting if we could actually talk together about it. So when Praveer said that he was coming to Pondicherry, I said, do come and show us this thing, and we'll also make a program. We'll invite everybody who's interested, and then we'll see what we can, what kind of interesting discussions arise afterward. So, with no further ado, Praveer.
Thank you, Bhavana. So it's wonderful to be here this morning, and I think that essentially. What I'd like to share, first of all, I'd like this to be very interactive, and it's a short presentation. But what I really want to talk about is the work that I've been involved in for the last 15 or 20 years, and it's been evolving a fair amount, and in its current incarnation, this is the title that really captures it. It's the fractal ladder connecting inner power with global change. And I'll talk about the fractal, I'll talk about the framework by which inner power is connected to global change. What I'd like to do is just go through a few slides and then just open it out to a discussion. There's, as Bhavana said, there's a fair amount of work that I've been trying to do with various organizations, and there's different snapshots of some of this work that I'll share, and would love to see, you know, if what kind of interest that elicits and what kinds of views, and just take it from there. Thanks. So, at its very core, the work that I've been involved in is really, it encompasses two very universal themes. One is an unveiling of an integrated, purposeful world, and in my perception, it's a fractal-based world. And second is the central place that each of us holds, or potentially holds, in facilitating significant global change. So these two themes are universal. I think there are a lot of different organizations around the world that are pursuing it from one angle or the other. And to me, these are very significant because, especially in the corporate context. So I've been a consultant in the corporate world for about 15, 20 years. And one of the things, or rather some of the things that are very apparent in the corporate world is that it's very monopoly driven. So there's a worldview, a business worldview, in which everybody is an asset one way or the other. And there's a worldview in which the world and all resources are, at the end of the day, exploitable by business, and it's all right. And to me, that's not all right. So essentially, one of the main themes is how do you demonopolize the monopolies? So we look at, if we expand on this theme of monopolization or monopolies, you know, there's monopolies of course, the worldview, there's monopolies of wealth, there's monopolies of money, there's monopolies of product. There's a lot of different monopolies, and the question is, what do you do in order to demonopolize that? And the key, of course, which gets to the second part or the second theme, is that of individual power. And through the ages and even across geography today, there are many different interpretations of individual power and how individual power can make significant change happen. So I found very attractive, and it happened very spontaneously, this notion of fractals. And to me, that's the theme by which inner power is connected to global change. A fractal, for those who may not be familiar with the concept, is a pattern that repeats itself on different scales. So very simply, a common example of a fractal is a broccoli or a cauliflower. And if you look at the broccoli, you see that there's a brocklet that repeats itself in the shape of the stem, that repeats itself in the shape of the whole broccoli. And if you want to change the whole shape, you change the little brocklet and the whole shape changes. So that metaphor to me was very powerful, that if we make small changes in ourselves, in a sense, take back the power that is ours, or the power that's within our depths, if that becomes alive, then there can be a number of rippling effects that changes the scheme of things, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. A little context, of course, and I only speak about things that you're all very familiar with, but it's evident that circumstance is demanding a change in our thinking. If we look at the kinds of problems, the kinds of situations we are faced with today, we're all familiar with climate change, with the global financial crisis, with environmental degradation of various kinds, of pervasive toxicity, of, to me, what is at the root of everything, which is the universal business view of things in which everything is an asset. And these are pervasive problems, and in many regards, they have been created because of a limitation in perception. And that perception is about a linear model in which the extent of reality is very much what we can see with the physical eyes. So it's a physical view of things. And so long as we're focused on that view of things, so long as our perception is animated with that model, then the kinds of fractals that we create are ultimately self-destructive, because that's not the true nature of who we are, and that's not the true nature of what this world is. So, in its essence, the work that I've been involved in is this elaboration from a linear view of circumstance to a systems view of circumstance. Now, when we talk about a systems view, there are many different kinds of systems views that may be relevant, that have shaped our thinking. And I come back to this notion of a fractal-based system where small patterns repeat themselves as being the system view that I have preference for. So there are a few different approaches that had occurred to me by which this fractal-based view of systems I felt was very fruitful. And as Bhavana said, I've had one foot in the corporate world and just trying to reorient myself to a language and to a way that might appeal to a growing segment there, but also I've very much had one foot in the ashram. I spent several years teaching at the ashram school and have been studying Sri Aurobindo for many years. So there's two different approaches that led to the same thing for me. And I'll talk a little bit about both of them because I think they're both relevant. And it's because it's really the intersection of both those that is at the core of the work that I have been involved in. Now, if we take it from the materialist point of view, or the scientific point of view, or the established business point of view, from that perception, you may be familiar with the work of Buckminster Fuller, who, for instance, discovered that nature really tries to build things in the most efficient way. And if you look at what's a very efficient means to build natural structures, the fractal emerges as something that is, in fact, employed by nature a lot in building a lot of the physical constructs that we see around us. So whether we're looking at clouds or river networks, parts of the body, mountains, plants, trees, it's these basic fractals that are found that create these structures. And it makes sense if we think about this notion of nature being the ultimate efficient builder, because the fractal really takes some information and uses it again and again at different scale. So an interesting study or rather application of it today has been in computer animation, where there's a large amount of data that's required, and there have been several developments that really try and isolate fractals for images and then replicate this out to create animations. And that's really helped a lot in minimizing storage and processing issues that had been very difficult to handle earlier. And so it makes sense from that point of view. Now, the question that occurred to me was, if a lot of our natural structures are organized as fractals, and in fact, if it's very fruitful also to use it in fields like computer animation, and also, while I'm not that familiar with it, I hear that it's being used a lot in mechanical design today, or used more and more in mechanical design today. The question that occurred to me is such a thing also true of behavioral, complex behavioral systems? Is it true of systems in which emotion and thought exist? And I spent a few years really trying to understand that, and I wrote this book called Connecting Inner Power with Global Change that essentially created a hypothesis that behavioral systems from the individual to a team, to a corporation, to a market, to systems that comprise of various markets and beyond can all be thought of in terms of fractals. So for me, it was a fruitful approach. In fact, very complex behavior could be understood by simple dynamics, no matter what level we're talking about. We're talking about systems, markets, or a corporation, or a person. But fractal, of course, is a similar pattern that repeats itself. And so I'll talk about the elements of that in a few minutes. And I think I already talked about this, so let's skip. And here is some examples of fractals in nature. And this here is a depiction of the lungs on the lower right-hand side. That's, of course, lightning. And you have river streams also that are organized the same way. So it's the same pattern, bifurcating and bifurcating again, that creates them. And then galaxies also, they've been hypothesized as, or modeled as being created by repeating patterns. So it's just to make the point that there's fractals seem to be used on many different levels in physical nature. Now, when we talk about this hypothesis that even complex behavioral systems are constructed by fractals, what occurred to me and the thinking that I took was that if that's true, then the seed of those fractals, or those fractals, should be evident no matter where we look. So it should be evident in many different levels of organization. It should be evident in many different parts of history. And I thought that as a thought experiment, why not look at something that's preceded human history and is vaster than human geography? And if there's a fractal pattern that emerges there, then hypothetically that fractal pattern could exist in all of history and all of geography. So that was the thinking that I had employed in coming up from the observational point of view. And I'll talk about the point of view from Sri Aurobindo in a few minutes, but from the observational point of view, now what is it, or what could this fractal be? What could be the elements of this fractal? And so I thought that if I looked at or considered the nature of the dance of the earth and the sun, since it's something that has existed before geography and before history, and if it's something that emerges there, then that may exist everywhere else. And so there's two kinds of movements when we think about the earth and the sun, at least two, but there's, of course, the sun revolving around, the earth revolving around the sun. And then there's the rotation of the earth on its axis on a daily basis. And to me, that rotation of the earth around the sun was the first manifestation of the elements of this fractal. And let me elaborate. I'm going to just draw a quick diagram. So, you know, as we're talking about the earth, and here there's a sun and the earth going around there, and there's a rotation on a daily basis. Then if we take the view from the earth, the sun, of course, has different relative positions. And if we consider, and this happens on a daily basis, this has been happening for 4.5 billion years. So whatever pattern emerges in that, to me, is embedded in the DNA of a life in a certain way of thinking about it. So you have, say, as the morning sun rises up and the light hits the earth, what's apparent at that point is distinct physical structure. So when the first light hits the earth, it's almost like structure becomes aware of itself as a distinct shape, and it has distinct boundaries and a distinct sense to it. And to me, that was like the physical view of things. That's when you look at things, what you see is what the eye can see. So The first element, if you will, of this fractal is this physical component, where things exist as distinct structures that are isolated and that, in a sense, live for themselves. Now, as the sun, relatively speaking, gets to the high point of the day, there's a lot more activity. And in that activity, each of these distinct structures becomes alive and becomes active and pursues their dharma in a manner of speaking. They become a lot more energetic. And to me, this phase of energy, of experimentation, of a lot of movement was the second phase. And I refer to that as the vital phase. And then as the sun goes lower in the horizon at the end of the day, there's something different that begins to happen. Suddenly, it's as though this individual point of view, this focused light that had animated things, gives way to something else, because you begin to see a lot more stars in the sky. There are a lot more suns in the sky. And it's almost as though the same situation can now be viewed from many different points of view. And to me, that was representative of the third phase, where meaning emerges, where introspection emerges, where this notion of looking at the same phenomena from different points of view becomes much more real. So that's, I would refer to it as the mental point of view. And to me, these were the three elements of this pervasive fractal. And this fractal, we can think about it in a few different ways. So there's these three elements: the physical, the vital, and the mental. And the combination of these three elements creates many different possibilities. So if the physical leads and the vital and mental are subservient to it, it creates a certain kind of operational reality, no matter what level of organization we're looking at. If the mental leads and the vital and physical are subservient to it, it creates a different kind of operational reality. So for me, these three elements were like three strands of DNA. And if you combine them in different sequences, you in effect create the different operational realities that animates each of the different organizational levels that we could possibly think about. However, there's one sequence, and that sequence is, the key to that sequence is illustrated by the very movement of the earth in its dance with the sun. And if we think about that, that's the physical yields to the vital, yields to the mental. It's in this order. And to me, this fractal, this way of sequencing things, creates something entirely different. It creates a progressive organization. It creates a progressive manifestation. And a lot of the work that I've been involved in is really around understanding the patterns that animate organization. There could be many different patterns. So for example, if a person as an organization experiences anger, anger by itself will lead to a certain kind of operational reality. But when the anger, which is a vital movement, yields to thought or reason, then the anger is controlled. So in a sense, when that fractal for progress becomes active, the same pattern from the physical to the vital to the mental When this becomes active, then that organization that's experiencing anger or a vital movement can become the most progressive that it can under the current circumstances. Now, if there's interest, and when I finish, we can talk about more of this. And in fact, I'll say that over the course of about 15 years, I've developed several different tools, software tools, online environments, that essentially help a person or help an organization understand what are these core patterns that are animating its existence. And how can these core patterns be shifted so that it's a progressive pattern that comes into place instead? And to me, it's really important when we talk about monopoly, when we talk about monopolistic power, that's really a function of this, where this is a key part of it, but there's not so much of maybe the mental part. And so when we talk about breaking monopolies, it's this that has to be completed, this fractal that has to be completed. And there's a lot of meanings that that takes, and we can talk about that when we enter the discussion part. But please, thank you. Now, I'll just leave that aside for the minute. That was kind of the practical, scientific, observational point of view. And here I'm going to shift gears and talk about the point of view from my understanding and my interpretation of Sri Aurobindo's works, several works. And Savitri's is a key work. When I read, I read Savitri many times, and once all of a sudden, as I was reading it, I suddenly felt as though what he was talking about in The World's Stare, in this canto, The World's Stare, which I'll just say a little bit more about, suddenly became very alive for me. And it began to alter my perception of things in a manner of speaking. So it's had a very deep impact on me. And if you look at this canto, this is in book two, the book of the traveler of the worlds. And going back to book one, just very briefly, you have Ashwapati, who is a great yogi. And he has, through his tapasya, he has broken the bonds of ego. He has broken the bonds, he has escaped from ignorance. And beyond that, he has escaped from all cosmic bonds as well. And at which point, after he escapes from all cosmic bonds, he's able to travel anywhere in creation. So the World's Stare is his travels through creation. And the very first canto in World's Stare, in the Book of the Traveler of the Worlds, The World's Stare, is where he begins his travels. He sees this World Stair, which is a hierarchical arrangement of worlds. So there's physical worlds, vital worlds, mental worlds, stacked one upon the other. And as I read it, there were these lines that had a very deep impact. And I'll read a few of these. But it says, planted on earth, it holds in it all realms. It is a brief compendium of the vast. This was the single stair to being's goal, a summary of the stages of the spirit, its copy of the cosmic hierarchies, refashioned in our secret air of self, a subtle pattern of the universe. It is within, below, without, above. And to me, those lines, it is within, below, without, above, means that it exists wherever you can see. And perforce, if it exists everywhere you can see, it exists on different scales. So it's the same pattern repeating itself on different scale. And to me, that's a fractal. So when I read and reread this canto, this notion of fractal became very alive for me. And it was at this point that I began to try and reinterpret organizational problems in fractal terms. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but just some key points that I've made, and I'll just say a few more things, and then I'll come to an end shortly. But as I was thinking about the merging of these two worlds and their application to organizational problems, there were a few quote-unquote postulates or parts of a theorem that emerged for me. So I'll just read a few of them. Okay, there are common building blocks that animate each level of organization. So common building blocks, the physical, the vital, the mental. Organization refers to an idea, a theory, a habit, an event, a circumstance, a person, a team, a corporation, a collectivity, a market, our world, the economy, our world. Basically, anything whose structure, process, and meaning are defined by common building blocks. So I give a very broad meaning to organization. So an idea is an organization, a person is an organization, the world is an organization. And they all have at their core these three building blocks that animate their operational reality. So dynamics of a particular organization are entirely determined by which of these building blocks are active at the level of organization. So if it's the physical orientation that's active in the organization, then everything is viewed as fixed, as unchanging. The status quo is what counts, and that's what's most important. You fight your battles to make sure that the status quo is kept. You don't want change to happen in any way. So in many respects, that's the operational reality that animates organization at a practical level that's driven by this physical worldview. There, like DNA, the stringing together of building blocks in a particular sequence or with particular dominance determines the active dynamics of that level of the organization. And the point that I made earlier, there is only one particular sequence of stringing together building blocks that allows an organization to progress sustainably. So whether that organization is a market, is a corporation, or is a person, it's only that one particular sequence in this view of things that allows that organization to progress sustainably. And I'm going to stop there because the rest of this refers to this book that I wrote. It's called Connecting Inner Power with Global Change, The Fractal Ladder. And the basic hypothesis is that, you know, when we talk about global change, we can't change things globally unless we change things at the smallest level. And the only way that fruitful change can occur is, in a sense, if that same change ripples out at each level so that it becomes like a fractal ladder. So it's the same pattern repeating itself at different scale that makes that change possible. Now, you may ask, what if a fractal pattern is dominated, say, by the physical or vital point of view? Can it still not create sustainable change all the way up? It can create change. However, the one point is that the fractal ladder, you know, connects the smallest levels of organization with the largest that we are aware of in instances like the evolution of Earth. So here's something that's, or the evolution of being on Earth. Now here's something that's beyond, up till today, beyond the control of the human. Everything else you can say, you know, at the personal level, at the team level, at the corporate level, at the market level. These are all constructions of our perception. And if it's a vital that leads with the physical and the mental being subservient to it, that's the same pattern that's going to ripple up. So is that not the fractal ladder? But in fact, I'd say it's not, because if you look at this level that's beyond all these other levels, it's this level here. You see the same from inanimate matter to experimentation and animate matter to thinking, being, and beyond. So it's the same pattern that emerges here, physical to vital to mental. And it's something beyond here. Or even if we think about the rotation from with the earth and the sun, we saw there that's also something beyond human creation, where again we see the same pattern, physical to vital to mental. And to me, the fractal ladder has its anchor there. And that's what creates a ladder. When that pattern is linked to the smallest things that we have control over at the individual level, that creates a fractal ladder. And that creates the basis for a different kind of sustainability. And so the rest of the postulates really have to do with that. And I don't want to go there at the moment. But can you please move forward? Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Alan? Yeah. And again, please. And one more. Thank you. Yeah. So to get really practical, I've been doing some work with Stanford University Medical Center over the last year and a half. And essentially, it's to explore these fractal-based organizational dynamics and structures in the context of a complex organization. It has 10,000 employees at many different levels who are driven by very different worldviews. And the question is, how can organizational dynamics become more productive, more sustainable within the context of that organization? So to me, really the problem was one of understanding the patterns and being able to shift them. And you can't see this from there, but essentially what this is these are many different tools that I've created. They're software tools and online environments that help people and help teams and help departments to understand what are the dynamics that are responsible for their operational realities on a day-to-day basis. And at the core of it, what I ask people to do and what I ask teams to do is to track the states of being they are experiencing on a day-by-day basis. And those states of being are either physical or either vital or mental. And these software, you can please shift forward. One of the environments breaks up the physical, the vital, the mental into many different movements of that part of the being. So for instance, at the vital level, you may see things like anger, boredom, depression, doubt, or courage, determination, energy, and so on, both the positive and the negative. So I ask these teams and people to record what's going on a day-by-day basis. And then, of course, the whole fractal notion is that it's like taking a sample of your DNA. You know, you understand what physical, vital, and mental states are animating you at any one point. And then through this whole fractal hypothesis, that's the same kind of dynamics that's animating the teams, that's animating departments, that's animating the organization. And if there's dysfunction at the level of a department, you can't go and change a department head. You have to really look at what's going on and why that's being created. So it's a different kind of approach to organizational development. And I think it's in the many iterations to the last 15 years or so, this is the most practical that has emerged for me, and therefore it's significant for me at the moment. But I'll end at that point and open it out to discussion.